Sure.
Okay.
Where the NPN is being introduced.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, immediately tested its worth. So we had to consider making an NPN planar as well as a PNP planar. You had to have left and right.
Yeah.
It wasn't as easy as falling off a log because we still didn't understand a lot about surface states, about what was going on underneath the oxide. And if you wanted a really high voltage transistor, which should have no leakage paths of any kind, zero, which you'd never achieve with a Mesa, even with a planar, you could do better, but it was also difficult. It was also slower.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the Mesa, the size of the Mesa itself, tiny pinpoint, compared to a flat structure of planar, it's longer path for a conductor, so it was slower. But it was no question that it was the answer to a maiden's prayer. Oh my gosh, we just... We couldn't convert fast enough. Of course, we, for a while, had to run all three devices. So we had to run all three PNP, NPN, and planar. But they were developed 2 years apart, actually.
There was also this gold-doped transistor, right?
Yes,
It was very fast. It was used.
Yes, we found,
We
found that two things, that even in the Mesa transistor, that you could reduce the lifetime, you could increase the lifetime, reduce the leakage by nickel impregnation to kill to kill the centers which caused leakage inside the bulk of the transistor. So we learned to nickel plate the back of the things, and then heat treat them, and then later by the structure itself, a gold dope transistor works on different trapping sites in the bulk, and so it will increase the speed, and that worked nicely on the NPN, on the planar, which needed which needed all the speed they could get. But I must admit that the entry of the planar transistor was a revolution in the, in the business. People came from all over, just all over, including Bell, which they never used. They could have, because they were licensed, our licensees of the process. But it was very hectic during that period of trying to make both PNP and NPN Mesa with the tapping problem. So we'd never get out of that.
Well, how large was the pre-production group in this 59 to 61?
About, I would say, 15 engineers and maybe 10 technicians and 30 to 40 assemblers as a pre-production group. But the life of it was not too long. It was clearly an extra transfer to transfer research to pre-production and the pre-production to production. So we did it the easy way. We just took the technicians in the foreman and the guys off the line of pre-production, kept the line in the same place, and moved the foreman in from manufacturing. So they just ran it like a manufacturing room. It wasn't as easy as I make it, because we had fits and starts. There was something that we hadn't really learned yet, even in an oxide transistor, that we had to learn in later production, that the surface states under the oxide are not the same as the on the PNP as they are on an NPN. And that's always what made the PNP both slower and lower production. And we didn't quite fully appreciate that until the planar came along. It brought them a little closer together, but still we had to concern ourselves with the cleanliness to avoid the surface states underneath.
When did you first hear about, in this period, about the integrated circuit work? Anywhere, at Texas Instruments, or what Noyce was doing?
The first time we came up with the structure for integrated circuit that anybody knew about was mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. Noyce and Ernie made a flip-flop using the planar technique.
Hmm. So you mean both of them, right?
Yes.
Wow, interesting.
Yes. Jean had held the patent, holds the patent mm-hmm. on the aluminum over the oxide. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, on the other way around.
Yes,
on the oxide covering the junction,
mm-hmm.
which is the big step.
Yeah.
Noyce patented the connection of mm-hmm. two oxided surfaces
okay.
with aluminum, one to
mm-hmm.
the other.
Mm-hmm.
And they came within, I think even in the patent, they came within months of
mm-hmm.
Of fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And it was then that we learned that, as Noyce had pointed out, he said, we'll work with the NPN transistors because we have to plug them into the same sockets where the PNPs were.
Mm-hmm.
And we want people to keep buying our devices. But they're not going to last long, he said. These are going to take the place of everything.
Hmm. I see.
That is the integrated circuits. That is the multi-chip integrated circuits would take the place. Now, it actually didn't do that.
It took but a while, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it could. You could do a differential amplifier where the two junctions are really close together. And if you hook the leads up as a differential amplifier,
mm-hmm.
you could be an integrated circuit. But if you just didn't hook up two of the leads and stuck them into the can so that they went out to the outside, that would be a transistor.
Oh, yeah.
But it was not practical.
Mm-hmm.
It was not economically feasible.
Okay.
Hmm.
So I went to Italy and I introduced there
mm-hmm.
the Mesa devices
okay.
in 59 to 61. That was my job to do that.
Okay.
59 to 61, that was the... And the guy responsible for that is good old Robert Noyce.
Yeah, can you tell us, how that whole
played out,
that whole Italy story came.
I wish I could figure out just exactly how it turned out. It was a brainstorm mm-hmm. of noises.
Mm-hmm.
The basic reason was we were not big enough to market in Europe,
mm-hmm.
either of any of our products.
Mm-hmm.
We just everybody by this time was making Mesa transistors,
mm-hmm.
so we would have to compete with Motorola and Texas Instruments,
mm-hmm.
and we just couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we needed to penetrate. The driving force was the penetration of the marketplace.
Okay.
Now, to do that with a minimum of money,
uh-huh.
we needed a partner.
Okay.
And we chose a double-headed partner, unfortunately.
Hmm.
Not too many people realize this. The other two heads were Olivetti
mm-hmm.
and Teletra.
Mm-hmm.
Both were instrumentation and computer houses. That is, Teletra was instrumentation.
Mm-hmm.
You probably know better than I do, even, Christoph. And the other one, Olivetti, was computer.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to get into the planar business. So we said, okay, that's coming along.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, let's get into the marketplace because we're having requests, tons of requests for our Mesa transistors still
okay.
coming from Europe that we can't
okay.
fill.
Okay.
So you'll start with that.
Okay.
And then we'll switch you over to uh-huh. the integrated circuit.
Right.
Okay.
To the planar, uh-huh. and then the integrated circuit.
Uh-huh.
For me, that was to get them going in PNP and NPN transistors.
Okay.
That was the driving force.
Okay.
They provided the money. We worked out a deal where Fairchild became a 40% owner.
Mm-hmm.
Not a 33 and a third, but a 40% owner.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other two then split, were 30% each.
Okay.
And I was elected to go and do the job by myself, one person.
To transfer all the...
Transfer the process.
So you are the only Fairchild?
The only Fairchild.
Wow. That's something.
Noyce was quite a salesman.
Well, how
he showed up one. He showed up one day at my house. Maybe I told you that story. He showed up at my house. It was an Eichler here in the local development. He showed up in there and he said, "What are you doing?" And I was busy grinding the floor to put new linoleum, new
mm-hmm.
squares of linoleum.
Mm-hmm.
The place was filled with dust. And Sheila, and then my wife hollers out, "Hey, is somebody here to see you?" And, "What do you mean, see me? Can't see me. It was nice." He said, "We want you to go to Italy." Right up, bang. "Well, wait. I said, "I can't go." He said, "Why not?" He said, "I got to finish my floors." He said, "Forget them. Go to Italy." And then I talked with him afterwards, and that was the whole thing. He had just completed the agreement with Telettra and Olivetti. And actually, it was a third, and then during my tenure, I worked it up to 40% by consequence, because we had the product, you know.
Okay.
Negotiated a little better number. So I was alone. Of course, I made use of one or two guys once things got started. I made use of one or two guys off of the old Mesa lines and the plane and the PNP and NPN lines to come out there to help do the teaching on the line. But it was a come and go. There was one more American that was a sales guy. Who was to take care of the marketing end, because I couldn't do that. I was the operations manager, and I couldn't go out and call on customers and be the operations manager at the same time.
Why do you think Bob Noyce asked you to go? Did he tell you why?
That's a damn good question. He says, "As I look around at the guys I have, you're the only one I think can understand foreigners." I said, "How do you know? Why do you think that?" He said, "Well, I see you bring them around. They come and they visit. You talk with them all the time. And you know the processes. Why shouldn't you be able to educate a few Italians?" Little did I know. I think it was a combination of background and the state of the development at Fairchild at the time. They could do it with a lot less people using me than they could using a couple of guys for PNP, a couple of guys for NPN, and another one for diodes and all that sort of crap. So it was a really fly-by-night choice, in the manner of speaking. And I was introduced to Roberto Olivetti. He came over to interview me, and so did Virgilio Floriani, the head of Telettra. And they were convinced I could do it. They had turned down several guys. One of them from RCA, who had come to try to... I wish I could remember his name. He was big in transistors for television. And later in 3-5 compounds. He had been the plant manager before that at SGS. And he failed miserably. They wanted him out. Okay. But now they also wanted the new products. Okay. See, they wanted the plane out right away. Okay. And we didn't want to do that.
So does it mean that they had already a fab?
They had a germanium fab. I'm sorry. They had an existing going germanium fab.
Okay.
I had never seen a piece of germanium. And to this day, I wish I never will. The stuff is miserable, the way they have to process that. It has no surface. It has all surface states because there's no oxide. Germanium oxide is soluble in water. So you got to process it through a series of what look like baby Niagara Falls baths. You got to wash it and rewash it and etch it and re-etch it. It's the way it was done in the industry. And then out the other end comes the transistors. Then they don't have much reliability because you haven't washed it properly or something.
Right.
And the Italians were smart. They wanted to get in on the planar, on the silicon devices.
Where was the...
It's in Milan, just outside of Milan. Agrate, A-G-R-A-T-E. R-A-T-E. I have to admit that I had fun for 2 years. It was a pain in the butt screen. That's a whole other lexicon in here. I was really glad to come back. Really glad to come back. Christoph, you'll know, I never succeeded in teaching the Italians teamwork on a production line. I never succeeded in that. I saw the problem. I could recognize it. If you have a small team working on a problem, the problem is not the problem. It's a technical problem. It's not the problem. It's who gets the credit. So if you appoint someone to lead the team, it's understood he immediately will get the credit. That means the other three guys that are working on it are not going to get anything. And they know that, so they don't want to work on the team. I'm not exaggerating too much. but it's a difficult problem to get that teamwork going.
Okay.
And I had to, and since I was the expert, I had to look at the problem, and they'd say, well, let's call Dr. Sello, he knows all these answers. Why are we struggling? We're wasting time. So I'd come in there, and I didn't know the answer to the PNP problem any more than I would have known here. And I said, well, we'll have a team of three people will attack the problem. Well, what do we have to do? I said, well, look, whenever you attack a problem, you have to go analyze it first.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the problem and what is it doing?
Mm-hmm.
No, you haven't done that. He said, I know the answer, but I'm not going to tell you. You go find it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you find it, I'll tell you. And it took longer, but that was the only way we could get the job done.
So how an Italian team, I mean, how an Italian team would be different from an American one?
Yes, totally different.
Totally.
It would be totally different engineers.
Okay.
Italian, germanium, semiconductor engineers.
Okay.
The ones that could do the work that didn't have too much difficulty in silicon were the test engineers.
Okay.
They used the same kind of
course,
testers, the same boards, the same kind of things, so we had no problem with that. But the engineers who had been working with these successive generation baths, you know, that it looks like a gigantic series of Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Transistors start out at this line, they're etched, they're washed, they're etched again, and the third step, they're washed again.
Mm-hmm.
There's three washings and three etchings in germanium because it accumulates surface states as you go.
Mm-hmm.
And they, with luck, they come out. But I looked at that, I had never seen a piece of germanium. I didn't know how. I said, show me some germanium. Oh, we'd be glad to. We'll tell you all about it. No, don't tell me all about it. Just show it to me.
Well, maybe we better pause here.